WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A detention officer in Cherokee County, North Carolina, was shot and killed Monday during a federal inmate's escape from a medical facility. Sheriff Dustin Smith says the inmate Kelvin Simons got a hold of Officer Francisco Flores' weapon in a scuffle and shot him with it.
The suspect, Kelvin Simons, fled in a stolen vehicle and was apprehended in Macon County, North Carolina.
Officer Flores was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. A Queens, New York doctor has pleaded guilty to sexually abusing sedated patients at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Queens, and raping women who were unconscious at his home. The Queens DA says Z. Allen Cheng admitted to abusing seven women. The 35-year-old was arrested in 2022. He has remained in jail and has been barred from practicing medicine. Cheng faces up to 24 years in prison at sentencing. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new deal for Bobby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Milwaukee Bucks offering Bobby Portis Jr. a three-year contract extension worth $44 million. Portis asked why he's grateful Doc Rivers is his head coach.
You know, sometimes you get put in a box and not get to display what you can really do. So I'm thankful for Doc just letting me just play ball and just letting the game come to me, and it's been easier to go out there and just play the game the way I know how to play.
Meanwhile, Kevin Porter Jr. has declined the Bucks' offer to stay in Milwaukee and is instead headed to free agency. Baseball. Brewers have the day off. They travel to New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing in extra innings yesterday to the struggling Colorado Rockies, 4-3. Not enough production at the plate, said Pat Murphy.
We had three hits through the ninth inning, I believe, and one was a bloop and one was an infield hit. We had four hits and two homers that were timely and great. More and more, we couldn't finish the job.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low. It just might blow your mind.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. I guess John McCain singing in his grave. Yeah, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Yeah, Trump did it. Are you surprised? I'm not even a little bit. There's a guy who wanted to nuke a hurricane. Am I surprised by him doing this? No. Am I surprised that he said, oh, we're going to decide 2 weeks and then did? No, nope. And look, this is what you voted for. I said during the campaign, don't be surprised if he gets us involved in a misadventure. And here we are. Now, Department of Homeland Security on Sunday warned heightened threat environment here in the United States. You go, no, really? One of the largest sponsors of state sponsors of terrorism being attacked. You think? And look, thank goodness we've got that 22-year-old in charge of the anti-terrorism department. Thank goodness. Now, you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene praying. And thank goodness for Marjorie praying that Iran doesn't attack. And look, I don't want Iran to attack either. They're going to respond somehow. This is what generally happens. And what's interesting is immediately Trump came out the best, most successful, biggest invasion is, you know, really, you know, as he does. We got it all. We did it all. It's all amazing. It's all fabulous. And then we find out, no. In fact, was it J.D. Vance? who came out and said, well, you know, yeah, maybe we didn't get it. Maybe it's still intact. In fact, the Wall Street Journal reported that Vice President J.D. Vance signaled that Iran's stockpile of enriched uranium is still intact, but also that the U.S. isn't interested in destroying the regime. Then Trump says, well, maybe I am. And look, I don't even care about that. The fact that they came out and said, yeah, we got it all, and now they're, no, maybe not. Because understand, they don't know. You're not going to know for quite some time. Assets on the ground. Now, the other part of this that's concerning to me is if I'm Iran, I'm going to do what North Korea did and speed ahead as fast as possible towards nuclear weapons. Because understand, Iran's got what, more than 60 nuclear weapons right now? And you know, it's an arsenal that likely makes them too powerful to attack. And you might think if you're Iran, they go, you know, and I've said this before a bunch of times, if I'm one of those countries, any of them, you got to have this. Because people generally don't attack people with nukes, which is why Ukraine giving up their nukes was such a big freaking deal. You know, depending on us to honor our word. Biden did, Trump not so much. Now, I do find it interesting, former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, he said, quote, the enrichment of nuclear material, and now we can say it outright, the future production of nuclear weapons will continue. He said, a number of countries are ready to directly supply Iran with their own nuclear warheads. You think Putin's going to go, hey, you know what? Or through a back door somewhere? I don't know. But the reality is, here we go again. The drums of war are pounding. The same kind of voices, the disconnected elites who want our kids to go and fight their battles. You know, because you know Barron's not going to the front lines. You know, he'll have bone spurs or something. The wealthy in this country, they're not going to feel the consequences. You know, because here's the reality. Seems a lot like Iraq. And I can already see what's coming. You know, working class folks are going to have to tighten their belts again because they're going to throw the flag in front of us and we're all going to hop to patriotically and we're going to march right in to another nightmare. Because we've seen this before, haven't we? I hope we're not falling for it this time. And look, the early polling gives me some hope that, you know, we've had enough. But the reality is, you know, bombing Iran is a disaster waiting to happen for working class Americans. Us. These politicians and the media hacks who haven't learned anything from Iraq. They think we're not smart enough to remember. Because sadly, most of us don't. But I think most of us do remember Iraq. There are a lot of us who have buried friends. A lot of us who have watched families be broken. We've seen the ravages of war. And here we go. I mean, you think about the Iraq war. Cost us trillions of dollars. You know, that's not even the nearly 4,500 American service members dead, tens of thousands of wounded, countless other lifetimes ruined. And the reality is we left Iraq much worse than we found it. We destabilized the whole damn region. And now a lot of the folks who brought us that, we bombed Iran. And I don't think this is about national security. And look, I'm not an expert, but as a working class guy, I don't see how this is protecting we the people. I don't see how it's done. What this is about power. It's about influence. It's about oil. And it's about this obsessive, twisted thought of empire building. Do we want another endless war that keeps the contractors fat and happy and our news cycle full of misery? And of course, patriotism. and our blood being spilled? Look, I remember saying back years ago when Iraq was going on, I had a guest on this program who said, if you think Iraq is bad, wait till we go into Iran. Everyone thought, oh, it's going to be a quick strike. We're going to be in and out, limited engagement in Iraq. I'm hearing the same kind of things. Same kind of rhetoric. And we spent decades bleeding there. Iran isn't some weak puppet state. They have a big, well-armed... they've got a military. And they've got about 90 million people there who, from what I know and what people have told me, are fairly moderate. Yes, the clerics and the crazies are extreme, but every time we go ahead and do something like this, it just gives them fuel to go, look, the evil Satan is coming for us. An attack on them is going to unleash, well, the chaos that Trump wants. And that's the sad reality. But again, it's the working class of this country. It's you and me. It's my kids, our kids, that are going to be the cannon fodder. It's our kids who are going to pay the price. And why? Well, I mean, at this point, I think it's all about, giving tax cuts to the very wealthy. It's all about, everything but what they say it is. I trust nothing that comes out of this administration. And now think about this. Walk with me if you will. They're talking about cutting, 90,000 people at the VA? 90,000 people. And if we get into another misadventure, what happens to those heroes that we're going to send off? I don't see how Iran bombing there is going to bring us a victory. I don't think it's going to bring peace or security. It's just going to bring more chaos, more destabilizing of that region. And I know some of my far out religious friends, they're thrilled because end times can't be far behind. But don't tell me that this is patriotic. Don't tell me it's patriotic to support another war. Right now, it's my belief that patriotism is standing up for your country, not sending your neighbors off into some foreign misadventure where they can die, so that rich people like Donald and Barron can make huge money off of crypto. Understand, the Iraq War was one of the biggest mistakes that this country's ever made. We can't make it twice. We can't say this is time it's going to be different. It's our job, you, me, us, to stand up and say no to this. And where are the Republicans in Congress? I've had a number of people go, it's illegal for him to do that. I go, no, under the War Powers Act, he has the ability to do this. And I'm not, until they repeal the War Powers Act, I'm not getting into that. It's not even the beginning of where my argument is. For me, and this is what I've been saying all along, so from a consistency standpoint, for me, it's all about, are you ready for this again? Are you ready to take off the red hat or the blue hat or the pink hat or put on a hat? I don't care. And organize around the idea that this is not in the best interest of the country. It's not in the best interests of we, the working class. Now, I've had a bunch of people say, well, they're the state sponsors of terrorism all around the world. And yeah, they are. And you deal with that. But not by engaging in a war-like action with them. Because change in there, I still believe, has to come from within. And much like Dick Cheney said back in 91, if you invade into Iraq, you will be seen as occupiers and not liberators. This is that. And I can't believe I'm quoting Dick Cheney. But he understood that in 91. Now, when they got the chance to go back, yeah, they cashed in. They cashed in big. But if Israel wants to go and bomb Iran, let them. The fact that that bomb came out of one of our planes, that's That's a problem. And I'm curious your thoughts. Are we ready as a country? And do you think this is another wag the dog kind of scenario where nothing Trump has been able, nothing he ran on, he's been able to do? Didn't stop the war in Ukraine, hasn't done anything on Gaza, hasn't brought the price of anything down, hasn't fixed any problems. He's created a whole bunch. And hey, we're just a couple of months into this. There's still 3.5 years more to go. The question then becomes, is this what we're ready for? Now, I had my son ask me, is this World War III? And I'm going to say no, that's not my belief, because I don't think Iran is going to pull Russia in with them. And I surely don't believe that China is going to jump into it. I think they're smarter. North Korea, maybe. I don't know. Doubt it. So this will be a regional conflict. This will be another, I think, if we're dumb enough to send actual people there, this will be another Afghanistan. This will be another Iraq because of the terrain and all of the disadvantages. Will we be able to do this with air superiority? How'd that work out for us in Afghanistan, where they didn't even have an air force? How did that work out for us in Iraq, where they didn't have an air force? I'm curious. Did we think this through? I know Marco Rubio seems to think he did. And it wants to lecture about what the intelligence... Doesn't matter what the intelligence says. It's just, you know... We know. But you know what? I don't trust you. I don't trust this administration. The one thing that I had hoped that they were not is warmongers. Here we are. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Tell me what you think. Is this the beginning of the next 20-year conflict? Is this the military-industrial complex's wet dream? Is this where we plunder what's left of our treasury? Is this the excuse for deeper cuts to food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security? Is this where we finally raid the trust fund? The opportunities at this administration's feet in a war scenario are basically endless. You got to wonder, how much war gaming did they do in their think tanks? And how bad is this going to be for the working class of this country? I want to hear your thoughts. Rick@thericksmithshow.com. Right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So another family values Republican found his way into another grotesque scandal. And, you know, the hypocrisy. It's one of those things that, you know, it's incredible to me. It's so thick you'd need a chainsaw, Elon Musk's chainsaw to cut through it. This time, it's a guy named R.J. May, three-time South Carolina state representative, not a senator. I didn't want to elevate him just yet. Card-carrying member of the far-right Freedom Caucus. And a guy who, he built his brand, man. Screaming about morality. Protect the children. And anyone, well, anyone who dare question is, well, a threat to America. Well, as of what I understand tonight, he's behind bars. Accused of trading some 220 files of child sexual abuse material. Toddlers. And he did it under the screen name of Joe Biden and 69. Yeah, Joe Biden. It's all Joe Biden's fault. You know that, don't you? It's all Joe Biden's fault. And look, the irony is so on the nose, it's nauseating. But are we surprised? Anybody shocked? Anybody surprised another Republican got caught? Of course not, because this has become a pattern with them. Pound the table about protecting the children. Those drag queens and doctors. All the while. I don't know. They got some dark, deep, repressed. They got some stuff, man. And now you got this guy who's been arrested and allegedly shared these 220 files of toddlers involved in. Wow. It's so disgusting and despicable. But, you know, here we are. That thing my mother always said, when they're pointing a finger at you, they got three more pointing back at them. What they're accusing others of doing, they're doing massively. And May's story is especially revolting. If this is true, the allegations, if they're true, the Homeland Security investigators allege that the child sex abuse material was downloaded and uploaded using his home Wi-Fi and his personal phone. Now, no, someone else. There are even suspicions that perhaps maybe he traveled to Colombia under a fake name and filmed himself allegedly, doing that with underage girls. His defense attorney, throughout the old, someone stole his password. Maybe it was his wife's fault. Let's not forget. This is the same guy who evidently said on the House floor, we have an obligation to ensure our children have no harm done to them. While pushing anti-trans legislation. And here we are. In a courtroom, shackles on his wrists and ankles, accused of consuming and distributing the most vile stuff, if what I'm reading is accurate. And the only thing more twisted than the allegations are, the crocodile tears we're going to see from Republicans. Now, the Freedom Caucus, they did throw him out after the arrest, like rats jumping from a ship once the cameras roll. But don't forget, these were his people. They championed him. He helped them shape the most extreme corners of the South Carolina GOP and had no problem helping run challengers against other Republicans who weren't conservative enough for his tastes. Turns out that purity test kind of just, smokescreen. How many times do we have to see this play out? The Roy Moores of the world. The Denny Hastert's. Now this guy. And you go, maybe the Republicans just have this sickness. This rot behind the moral superiority mask. They wag their fingers at everyone, weaponized, protecting the children, talking points to attack gays and lesbians, teachers and doctors. And then, what do they do behind closed doors? And look, I look at the name. It's all Joe Biden's fault. It's all Joe Biden's fault. Again, these are the family values people. The people who want to basically steal food out of the mouths of children. The AP reported another blow to Republicans' tax and spending cut bill. The Senate parliamentarian has advised that a proposal to shift some food stamp cost from the federal government to the state, the centerpiece of the GOP savings effort, would violate the chamber's rules. Yeah, violates the Senate rules, but rules be damned. They're going to do it anyway. Also, the president and the White House, they have put out a press release, and I love this. It said, in President Donald J. Trump's first 5 months in office, real wages for hourly workers have seen their largest increase under any administration in nearly 60 years. And we're just getting started with pro-growth, pro-prosperity policies that finally put America first. Their press release reads, blue-collar workers have seen real wage growth, almost 2% in the first 5 months of President Trump's second term, a stark contrast from the negative wage growth seen during the first 5 months of Biden's administration. The only time this has been this high during President Trump's first term, Secretary Treasurer of the Treasury Scott Bessent said in an interview with the New York Post. The New York Post writes, since Richard Nixon in 1969, Trump has been the only president to record a positive growth for blue-collar workers in the first 5 months. He also achieved a 1.3% in his first term. The recovery from the 1.7% decline recorded in Biden's first 5 months as inflation outpaced earnings suggests a shift in economic conditions for this financially stressed segment of the workforce. Yeah. Biden bad, Trump good. Now, forget the fact that first 5 months of Biden's term, you had the free fall collapse because of Trump's mishandling of the pandemic. Don't worry about that. And don't, take into consideration that Trump's first 5 months had all of the investments and all of the stuff that Biden was doing to get the economy moving. Don't let reality, don't let reality come anywhere near your thought process. And look, we need to cut through the propaganda and get the real, what's really going on. Have you seen a raise? This claim of historic wage growth under Trump, it's a load of BS, and we know it is. And it's designed to mask the truth that the state of our economy and the struggles of everyday workers not getting better, actually getting worse under this administration. And now that we bombed Iran, expect oil prices to go up, gas prices are going to go up, inflation will go with it. But hey, the biggest wage increase in nearly 60 years sounds really impressive. Until you look at it, it's 1.7%. Inflation is what, 2.4 right now? So did life get better? For most working class families, wages have been stagnant and declining for decades. Not keeping up with the cost of living, not making lives better. So this statement by Trump, again, just propaganda. Just out there. And as I said, look, I said this at the beginning. They're going to turn Biden's successes into their own. Just like up the road from me, the Susquehanna Bridge Project. They've got Trump's name on that project. Wasn't his money that did it. It wasn't his bill. It wasn't his investment. He had nothing to do with it, but he slapped his name on it. And look, the fact that Trump's policies are putting America first, really? It's nothing but political rhetoric, and we know it. If it were true, why do millions of workers still face job insecurity, low wages, rising cost of living? Understand, the pandemic, inflation, corporate greed, they've all done their part. But it's policies that are aimed at enriching the few and cutting our social safety net. The big, beautiful nightmare. That's making things worse. So this narrative also kind of conveniently glosses over the fact that wage growth under Trump has mostly been a continuation of the previous administration. Never mind. But what we do know is workers are working longer hours, struggling to make ends meet. And the idea that 1.7% increase in wages is going to make your life better, really? I want to hear it from you. Are you feeling it? Are things getting better? Is life better now? Did he accomplish what he said he did? Are eggs cheaper in your neighborhood? Gas down? Car insurance? Rent? Any of that better? No. What we do have is we've got chaos. We got lots of chaos. And we're only, what, is it 5 months in? 5 months in. Yeah. Wow. Back after this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray shower storm this evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the upper 50s tonight. Sunshine and warmer for tomorrow, high in the low 80s. Another slight storm chance Wednesday and Thursday. A little more humidity as well, highs into the mid 80s. It's 71 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, I come back to, when you can't do what you said you were going to do, you can't fix the economy, you can't seem to end the wars in Ukraine or what's going on in Gaza, you just escalate. You know, This is wag the dog on steroids. But remember, this was the guy who all of my Red Hat friends said, you know, at least he didn't start a war. We're going to find out. I'm here to share some thoughts on what happened this past weekend. I've asked my good friend Sarah Burris to come share some thoughts. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website if you want to check out her work. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I don't know. I got a 19-year-old son. You know, I'm now going, did we just start World War III? Did we give Iran every reason to hurry up and build a nuclear weapon? Did we push them so far into a corner that, you know, you're not going to get them back? I don't know. We're going to find out. But like I said, I got a 19-year-old son.
Yeah, that's really scary. I wonder if bone spurs will still be an option if Trump reinstitutes the draft, which would not surprise me.
No, and Barron should go to the front. Barron to the front.
Yes, absolutely. This is really scary. I mean, I had friends who were texting me like, should we leave town? You know, should we not be in DC right now? How dangerous is it? You know, should I be making a go kit? I'm like, well, first of all, yes, everyone should have a go kit because natural disasters. But yeah, it's scary. I think a lot of people are freaking out. And at the same time, we're all looking to all of this insane amount of stuff that's going on in the country that desperately needs somebody with some kind of intelligence to fix it. And instead, it's, you know, look over here while I'm bombing these other people.
Yeah, no. And look, you knew that was going to happen. Because he is the master of chaos, the master of distraction. And, you know, what makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside is that we've got a 22-year-old with zero experience heading up the Homeland Security's anti-terrorism agency. So I sleep so much better knowing that a guy who was he washing cars or doing dishes or something before this?
He was mowing lawns.
Mowing lawns,
for his
okay.
neighborhood. He was a landscape artist in his neighborhood, and that really helped him with business networking, is what it said on his LinkedIn page. the dude's picture, like, here's the thing. If you're going to take an official photo for the government, like, you want to look your best. You want to have, you know, the hair and makeup. This dude has, like, the big eyebrow thing going on. And it's just like, you look at him and you're thinking, where's your parents? Like, why? Who are you? It was just the weirdest thing seeing this dude. I was like, oh, great. Now we're really safe. I feel awesome now.
Yeah, and this is the problem with having someone like Trump at the head of the head of the table. He has surrounded himself with, I guess this time it's because he's never claimed that these are the very best people. They seem to be the very worst, but at least they're loyal. At least they're going to do whatever he wants them to do, which I got to tell you, I think is nothing at this point. I think they want chaos. I think they want an attack. Mm-hmm. I think they want a reason to go and cause a whole bunch of chaos in the Middle East and elsewhere so that we stop focusing on eggs still haven't come down. Gas prices are going to go up. Everything else is going to go up. And the reason my red hats voted for him, twofold: one, the economy, and two, he didn't start a war. Until I gotta wonder now.
Yeah, all of the right wing machine during the election was like, "Oh, she's gonna start wars. She wants to bomb people. She's gonna send us all to have boots on the ground and yada yada yada." And it's like, really, in what world are you living in? If you look at some of the books that were written from the top Trump people from the first Trump administration, it makes it pretty clear that he's been wanting to bomb somebody for a while.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just a, you know,
even a hurricane.
This isn't just like a B for the RAND. This is, I want to drop a bomb on something. And I think, you know, Iran presented the opportunity last time around, but there were people there that were able to sort of talk him down and be like, okay, this is one, a really bad idea. What is your exit strategy? How do we, you know, make this actually work? What is your goal? And of course, he doesn't know any of those things because he's not a legitimate strategist, right?
And you've got someone like Pete, and you've got Pete Hegseth at the Department of Defense. So no warm and fuzzy. I mean, if you're in the military right now, I got to be worrying for you.
I'd be retiring real fast. Although, I mean, I guess everybody who's gay or trans or whatever can just be. I mean, like, now everybody's going to be trans, right? Everybody's going to be like, you know what? I want to be a woman, so I need to go see ya.
And the weird thing is it didn't help Klinger. I don't know why, you know, I don't know why this is a thing. This has been around for, and I had this conversation the other day with someone, and I said, look, this issue has been around forever. Lou Reed was singing about it back in the 70s. The Kinks had one of their biggest songs about Lola. I mean, Klinger was on one of the top rated TV shows ever. And, you know, the society didn't end.
And yet, here we are.
Here we are.
With Donald Trump. And, I mean, I go back to all of these things that he was going to fix on day one. You know, if he wants a war, why not go help Ukraine out, you know?
Or help Russia. I mean, look, if that's where you're going to go, because we know which side he's on. So, I mean...
But lately, Putin and he have not been getting along. Like, they're kind of, they seem like they're having a little bit of a lover's quarrel.
Yeah, because so Ben's,
really
sure. Ben's in the way.
Ben's in the way. Yep, that's true.
And look, if I've always been of the mindset, if Israel wants to bomb Iran, go ahead, let them. But it shouldn't be our people doing it. Look, I know people who have lived in Iran, and they tell me the same thing. The country is run by kooks. But the majority of the people in the country are fairly moderate, and a lot of them like us. A lot of them like Americans. On September 11th, you know, they were holding candlelight vigils. It's our leadership that keeps poking them and giving the extremists the ability to go, see what the evil Satan did? See what the evil Satan did to us? And to have someone like Trump out there trotting around like, this is the greatest success ever. It's the biggest ever. We've done the most incredible ever without actually knowing anything. Is, well, frightening.
From what I understand is he didn't actually hit the intended target. Like, I think he knocked out some nuclear power facilities, but I don't think that they actually destroyed the nuclear program piece right. of it that was doing the sort of sketchy enriched uranium thing that everybody was talking about. Like, oh, this is kind of bad.
Yeah, and I go back to, didn't we kind of have a deal to be able to go look at this stuff? Didn't he pull out of that deal?
Yep. We had the JCPOA, which Barack Obama signed, and if you look at kind of where they were in terms of developing their nuclear program, it's you know, shows it essentially stopping, like no development between, you know, these years and these years. And it just ramped up huge once they pulled out of the JCPOA.
Let me ask you, you know, if it's you, and I know I'm going to get a whole lot of ugly email for this, but if I'm Iran and I see this guy coming into office who has got this kind of rhetoric, don't you ramp up your production? Because the one thing we know is we generally don't attack people who've got nuclear weapons.
I would say too, if you're kind of a woohoo leader and you see another one that's kind of nuts coming into office, then I think it presents an excellent opportunity to, you know, build your own profile as a, you know, crazy leader. Yep. So it's just, it kind of becomes this tit for tat thing that reminds me a lot of North Korea and, you know, again, Russia, though at the very least, he cares about his economy to some extent, or at least cares about setting up propaganda to prop up his economy.
Just a little bit. No, you know, my kid asked me, you know, is this World War III? And I'm like, no, I don't think this is World War III, because Russia's kind of bogged down with Ukraine and and China. I think they're way too smart to get involved in any of this. They're just gonna suck up all the business. They're just gonna continue to corner manufacturing. They're gonna be the superpower of the world when we're done wasting all of our resources and our treasure and our lives. They're gonna be there to pick up the pieces, but they're not dumb enough to jump in the middle of any of this.
Well, the thing is, too, you know, Donald Trump has been jacking up all of these tariffs. So, you know, when oil prices go up, you know, obviously our gas prices are gonna go up, because first, you're going to have people who are price gouging like crazy. But then, like, Iran doesn't have the military capability to launch stuff at the U.S. So they're going to launch stuff at things that are nearby, which means oil tankers are a really great thing to blow up. If you're sending oil to the United States from wherever in the Middle East, that would be a great target, because that's going to screw your economy even more. So then you're like, okay, well, you know, I'm lucky I have enough cash to buy an electric vehicle, so we'll go that route. Well, here's the thing. Because of tariffs, all of this stuff is getting jacked up for prices. And then when the car breaks, all of the parts for the cars are now getting jacked up. And it's just like, there's no escape other than like buying a horse and, you know, riding it to work.
But a war economy is good for business. It's good for the capitalists. You know, we're blowing stuff up. It's good for production. If we had
already
production.
In a place, though, that we were doing really well, because we had, you know, relationships with the military industrial complex under Biden that was providing, you know, we were taking all of our stuff and giving it to the Ukrainians and then replacing, you know, our stuff with, you know, newer, fancier stuff.
You're not supposed to say that. That's not supposed to be. Evidently, the right doesn't want you to know that. But you're
clearly.
Right. You are correct. And it's one of those things that, you know, kind of was something that the right did not give Biden credit for. Look, at the
I would say the military industrial complex didn't give him credit for it either, because if you looked at their PAC contributions, they were still giving to Donald Trump. And I'm like, guys, who's been your bread and butter for the last four years?
True. Now, look, I'm an anti-war person. I don't think we should be involved in any of these adventures. But, you know, Ukraine is a whole different story. One attacked the other. And we also did make the promise that if they gave up their nuclear weapons, we would protect them. So there's a lot there that I'm struggling with.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's scary for, I think, a generation of people who haven't seen this. Like, I've got my little cousin who just graduated from high school. And immediately, you know, when I saw the news, I texted her and was like, we just bombed Iran. And so she's been sort of paying more attention than normal and has been saying kind of a lot of the same things that I remember myself saying in the early 2000s when we bombed Iraq. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, how do you, and she's, you know, a student of history. She knows stuff about Iraq, but at the same time, you're just like, we've seen this movie before. And I get her fear. I get, everybody who's scared, should we be in DC right now? Like, I get it. You really just want to be like, let's go out to the farm in the middle of Oklahoma and hide there, because at the very least, you know, it's not near anything.
And while all this is going on, the big, beautiful nightmare of a budget bill is making its way through, with massive cuts to social, to Medicare and Medicaid, massive handouts to the very wealthy. And this is such a wonderful, nice cover for, you know, this distraction over the weekend. Nice cover to be able to get through all of the horrible that that bill is going to bring us.
Well, I think, too, it's like everything that Congress should be doing, they've abdicated their complete responsibility on. They should be in charge of tariffs, and they've just been like, oh, no, it's okay, you can take care of that, Donald Trump. They should be the ones who are declaring war, which it seems like they're also now delegating to Donald Trump. At the very least, what the Intelligence Committee was saying on Friday, whenever Tulsi Gabbard didn't show up to brief them, they were saying, look, you have to give us 48 hours notice by law before you do something. And that means that Donald Trump should have done it by Friday, and she didn't show up to the briefing. So then he's got 60 days to wage this war. So if he doesn't, you know, have any kind of exit strategy, which, let's be honest, he probably doesn't. You know, I wonder what Congress is going to do.
And nothing.
Too, like, how are we going to, oops, sorry. How are we going to afford this?
You know, we can afford this. Don't worry about it. We'll just cut more food stamp programs and more Medicaid and more Medicare. You know, get Granny back to work, because we're gonna need workers for war production. So, you know, Granny's, you know, we've got a bunch of them. They can get back to work.
And then we won't have anybody picking any veggies and fruits in our fields, and we'll just have to plant our victory gardens again.
You're not entirely wrong. But, you know, one of the things I found interesting is I had a bunch of people tell me, well, he's not allowed to do this. And I'm going, yeah, kind of is. I kind of think, and I, until we repeal the War Powers Act, you kind of can, because just about every president's done it in my lifetime.
Even then, he still has laws that he's got to follow. But I don't know that anybody in his office either cares,
no,
or anybody's going to hold them accountable.
I don't think anybody knows. Like, I don't think they know. I don't think they know, or
oh,
they don't
surely
care.
Surely not.
When you got a 22-year-old leading the anti-terrorism department at the Department of Homeland Security, how much does that kid know?
You got a lawnmower who's basically going to try and figure out what the War Powers Act is. Like, is he asking ChatGPT to run a report on it? Like,
yes.
Probably.
And that's the scary thing, because what's interesting is a bunch of the comments I got, you know, came out of, because they were so well written. So I know if someone sends me an email, I know there's got to be at least one or two typos. It's amazing how recently there haven't been any typos or grammatical errors or run-on sentences or fragments. It's all been perfectly grammatically correct.
Yeah, thank goodness for ChatGPT doing your homework for you.
No, it's all nonsense. I mean, it's all what you would expect the machine to give you. No original thought in there, but it is interesting. So let me ask,
I just imagine somebody then like going through and capitalizing random words, you know.
I just give it away. I think I just gave the test away. But no, here's the thing, and this is where I kind of want to end up with this, because, you know, this budget nightmare is coming, and there are real draconian cuts in there. There's real pain and real suffering. Do you think this is going to be the cover? Because I think the deal's already made with the Senate and the House. I think they've already figured it out. My hope for it to die, probably not going to happen. But I wanted to get your thought. What are you hearing on the street?
So I'm kind of two minds, because I know they're never going to get Rand Paul's vote. Like, John Thune last week, when somebody asked him about it, said, you know, has hell frozen over yet? What was interesting to me is that last week they delegated the bill back to appropriations, which is basically Senate speak for, we don't have the votes, do something, please, for the love of God, do something. Well, the chair of appropriations is Susan Collins. So, and she's up for election in 26. So I'm like, how do you, like, I don't know how you fix this bill if you're Susan Collins and, you know, you live in a state like Maine and you've got Trump now taking us into war. Like, how is that going to get squared? And I don't know if, I mean, what I would do if I were Democrats is just be like, we need to stop this whole budget conversation and just have a straight bill that just funds the government and nothing else, and deal with this war situation. And that would be a great way for them to just sort of, you know, put the kibosh on everything.
Yeah, but the Democrats don't have that kind of power.
Of course not. Of course not.
Now, I know I said lastly, but I got to get your thoughts on this Smartmatic thing. What's going on? I'm hearing some rumblings going on with Smartmatic and Fox News. What's going on?
So several years ago, you know, after the conspiracy 2020 election, Dominion Voting Systems and Smartmatic both sued Fox News. Dominion, much smaller company, settled their lawsuits. Smartmatic was like, we understand why they settled. It's a very small company. We are not that company. We are, you know, the worldwide electronic voting company, and we have the funds to be able to fight Fox News, and by God, we're gonna. So this whole lawsuit for the last several years has been under seal. So, like, we can't read anything about it. We don't know anything about it. Fox has filed a motion last month that was public, asking for summary judgment, basically asking, you know, we don't want to go to trial because obviously a jury is going to destroy us. So let's have a judge just make a ruling on this as it stands now. And Smartmatic's like, no.
Good on them.
No. And one of the things in the Fox lawsuit that they, in the motion that they wrote, was something like, you know, Smartmatic is not Dominion and blah, blah, blah. And Smartmatic came back with, no, you're right. We're not Dominion. We're not going to cave, and we have the money to fight you, and we will not give up. And it was kind of this, like, reading through it is like this really cathartic, like, smackdown that was really great on a Friday to go through. So I highly recommend looking at some of the legal nerd tweets about it. And if you can, you know, Google the motion for it, it's a good read. It's very plain spoken, like, not lawyerly, not legalese. Like, somebody like us can read it and be like, oh, I understand. So
Dominion,
good on them,
got an enormous amount of money. I mean, it was like $700 million dollars.
Like, you have to wonder if the end of this looks like, you know, Fox News brought to you by Smartmatic. Because they don't have any, I mean, you take $787 million from Fox News, what kind of cash do they have left?
Right.
I don't know what their finances are to know how much money, you know, can you imagine what a jury would award them?
Yeah,
this case is in New York.
Going to be interesting to watch. Going to be, get the popcorn, going to be interesting to watch. And you might be right. It may be Fox News brought to you by Smartmatic.
Let's hope. There That'd be go. Awesome.
Sarah, as always, appreciate the work, the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good rest of the week.
You as well. Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Interesting story with the Smartmatic. I want to hear your thoughts. rick@thericksmithshow.com. Right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1999. That was the day 5,000 textile workers at 6 Fieldcrest Cannon Mills in North Carolina began voting for representation by the Union of Needle Trades Industrial and Textile Employees, better known as UNITE. The victory, later validated by the NLRB, was a significant win for labor in the anti-union South. The union's organizing director, Bruce Rauner, stated, quote, "It feels like we just organized GM. Suddenly, we've got a beacon to show other textile workers that they can do it." Labor historian Leon Fink noted that, quote, "It's a stunning victory for the union. It's the biggest breakthrough in a traditional Southern industry for probably the last quarter century." Then AFL-CIO President John Sweeney remarked that it was the largest union victory in a Southern textile mill in history. The election and victory came after 25 years of struggle and 4 previous attempts to organize at Fieldcrest Cannon Mills. Many noted that the young immigrant workforce made the difference. Conditions had been worsening at the mills. Workers fed up with production line speed up, punitive decreases in piecework premiums, and company harassment were compelled to vote union. One worker stated that he and many others were sick of lies management told to keep workers from voting yes in previous elections. Supervisors routinely intimidated workers to vote no with promises of higher wages, or when that failed, threats of deportation. Workers were barraged with various forms of anti-union propaganda. They found anti-union videos mailed to their homes. Some were paid extra to distribute Vote No t-shirts on the shop floor. The company finally recognized the union and negotiated a first contract that guaranteed higher wages, pensions, and other benefits.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You know what we didn't hear on Fox News? The fair and balanced folks? The fact that Steve Bannon is going after them in a pretty pointed way. Understand, Bannon once true diehard, true Trump diehard, true loyalist. Now looking at Fox News for pushing what he has called propaganda, and has accused the Murdochs and Fox News of putting foreign interest up front of ours. Remember, America first. Now understand, the fair and balanced folks, according to, Bannon, full of a bunch of 70-year-olds, a bunch of people who probably not going to be, out there carrying the guns. I got to wonder this bombing of Iran, what is this going to do to that audience when they start thinking about their grandchildren having to go and fight these wars? And look, Fox is in big trouble. They're still pulling in big ratings because the rage crowd still wants their daily fix. But when you've got people like Bannon, you got Rumble, and you got all these other OAN and Real Voice something or other, they're more than happy to take Fox even further to the extreme. And interestingly enough, Fox has kind of buried themselves. 2020 with the whole Dominion voting thing, and now Smartmatic suing them. Dominion got, $787 million? That was the settlement. And as Sarah Burris said a moment ago, they're a small company. Imagine what Smartmatic's going to do. This is a monster lawsuit. And what they're arguing is that Fox knew. They knew they were lying. In fact, you look at some of the stuff that we've seen, you got to wonder, did they know? And were they just pushing it for the ratings? Because, hey, ratings means money. What happened to fair and balance? What happened to journalism? What happened to, honesty? This might be the beginning of the end of Fox. And as we said a moment ago, it could be Fox News brought to you by Smartmatic. Because I don't think they're going to settle. I think they're going to want to clear their name. And this is an interesting moment because all of the lies that Trump and all of his cabal were running around spewing during that period and after, all of the hearings like we had not too far from here in Gettysburg, where you had state legislators holding, mock hearings where nobody was sworn in or held under oath, because they knew what they were saying was BS. They knew what they were doing. I'm interested to see how this plays out, and good on Smartmatic for saying no. We want to go to court. We're going to spend the money. They got it. But I want to hear your thoughts. The weekend, big event. The bombing of Iran is kind of a big deal. For me, it's going to, what happens? What's next? What's the retaliation? And as I said a moment ago, with a 22-year-old as the head of anti-terrorism at Homeland Security, do you feel warm and fuzzy? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Want to hear your thoughts. Miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Email Rick. At rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. The suspect in Sunday's deadly ambush of Idaho firefighters may have been living in his car but had no criminal records, officials said Monday. His body later found at the scene, which remained active today. ABC's Matt Gutman in Idaho.
The authorities identifying the suspect as 20-year-old Wes Rowling. Two firefighters killed, a third badly wounded. Authorities say the suspect actually interacted with the firefighters before the shooting. They'd asked him to move his vehicle.
Karen Diamond, an 82-year-old Colorado woman, injured in a Molotov cocktail attack on demonstrators supporting Israeli hostages in Gaza, has died. Diamond died as a result of the severe injury she suffered in the June 1st attack in Boulder, according to the local DA's office. President Trump has announced a new fragrance called Victory 4547. He says that's the name because they're all about winning, strength, and success. Trump fragrances includes cologne for men, perfume for women. They each cost $249. This is ABC News. The W.